This is the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by Andy's Frozen Custard.
Kelce at the 20, 15 to the 10, and into the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City!
On your weekday home for Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Mitch Holtis.
The ball is out and picked up by the Chiefs. It's a Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City!
Your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Wants to run a boot, being chased by Chris Jones. He is wrapped up and eaten by Chris Jones.
Here's Jay Binkley.
And welcome. The Chiefs avenged their loss last week, and they win today against the Denver Broncos, 34-28. Although it wasn't very pretty to watch. Jay Binkley with Jed Marshall producing the operation. Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs, they win today. If the Dolphins can beat the Chargers tonight on Sunday Night Football, remember the Chiefs-Broncos game was supposed to be Sunday night. But then it was 27-9. We said, okay, we understand why they flexed it, but it ended up being a good game after all. If the Chargers beat the Dolphins, nothing happens. The Dolphins beat the Chargers, Chiefs, seven straight AFC West titles. Just a matter of time before the Chiefs wrap up the AFC West once again for the seventh straight year. 34-28 was your final today. In Denver, a rivalry game. Mahomes now 15-0 versus the division on the road in his career. 15-0. 10-0 versus the Denver Broncos. The Chiefs have now beaten the Broncos 14 straight times in their 125th meeting today. Last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs, September 17th, 2015. Yeah, that was before the Royals won the World Series in 2015. It's almost 8 years ago. What were you doing 8 years ago? But the Broncos, as Peyton Manning was the quarterback of the Broncos. But the Kansas City Chiefs scored 44, 34, and 41 against three of the NFL's top five scoring defenses. The other one, the Dallas Cowboys, they have not played, and they, of course, lost to the Buffalo Bills. And I get it, a touchdown was scored today by Willie Gay and the defense. But all that was done on the road. 44, 34, 41 was on the road. Why are we feeling so bad when the Kansas City Chiefs score this many points against teams in the National Football League on the road? Why? Because they haven't played their best football. I mean, the eye test would tell you, when this team's up 27-0, we're kind of thinking, all right, when do you pull Mahomes in this game? When do you do it? Like, the Chiefs have not had one of these breathe-easy games. This certainly, up 27-0, looked like a breathe-easy game. They were having fun. The Denver Broncos are dejected. The crowd, whatever crowd was there, because they were kind of limited with people watching this game, were booing Russell Wilson. And then all of a sudden, Russell Wilson came to life. And then all of a sudden, with the minute 35 left in the first half, they score a touchdown, get an interception, score again. Then they play like Madden control and get the ball, you know, beginning the second half. And all of a sudden, they have 21 points. You sit here looking like, what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs? It's supposed to be one of those games they just put away. Like, we haven't had many of these. You put your feet up and relax, and you watch the Kansas City Chiefs win. Oh, no, they make every single game interesting. The good thing is they're winning games like this. Yeah, they do lose some, like the Cincinnati Bengals game last week. For the most part, they do win these, but it's frustrating because the eye test will tell you this team has a lot to go on. I mean, defense at times looked terrible. It just did. The tackling was terrible. It was porous. You let a team score 28 points on you in the Denver Broncos, and I get it. These are division rivalry games. They're usually close. But that's the most points they've scored all year, 28 points. They've scored 23 points in a loss to the Raiders. They scored 21 in a win against the Jags. But this is the highest point total they've scored all season. Then, of course, they put in Brett Rippon, the quarterback. So you're dealing with Russell Wilson and Brett Rippon, yet they score 28 points. Yeah, you'd say, okay, these games do happen against divisional opponents. But the bottom line is, this happened in a game when the Chiefs were up 27-0. You say, where's the pass rush? Well, they ended up with six sacks today. They should be third in the NFL in sacks come Tuesday when everything's said and done. But we want to hear from you, of course, as we go to the Silverstein Ice Center phone line for No Huddle.
Players only. Thursday nights at 6 with Danon Hughes and Sean Barber on 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty. Always live on the Odyssey app. Let's go, No Huddle.
Edwards-Helaire gets the handoff off the first hit, off the second hit, off the third hit, and into the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Taking your calls now at 913-586-7610.
That's right. Time for No Huddle on the Silverstein Eye Center's phone line. Kansas City's most trusted eye doctors, 913-586-7610 is the phone number. Of course, that's also the text line, too. Jay Southland Toe Service text line, 913-586-7610. And, man, you guys are burning up the text line today. We take your calls. We'll hear from the locker room. We'll talk to Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, as we go along as well. Let's go out first to Chris at Independence. Chris, you're leading off. What's going on?
Hey, Brink, do you think Patrick Mahomes has relinquished control of the AFC, of the MVP race, now that Jalen Hurts did so well and established him firmly as the front runner by Patrick Mahomes' bad decisions?
Well, not in the AFC, because he's in the NFC, but not in the AFC because Jalen Hurts is in the NFC. But
well, I mean, there's no way he's going to win it now, basically, if he keeps doing what Patrick Mahomes keeps doing and endangering us into possibly losing a game. Don't you think he has no shot at the MVP unless he plays a lot better?
I think Jalen Hurts possibly put himself in front today. Mahomes ended up with 352 yards and 3 touchdowns. But the interceptions will hurt. Jalen Hurts once again had a nice game for the Eagles, but there's still football left to be played. There's still games left to be played. People can have bad games. People can have really good games. So it's yet to be decided. But, you know, he's firmly up there in top two in the National Football League as far as MVP is concerned. And here comes Joe Burrow and the Bengals as far as AFC quarterbacks are concerned to watch out for. But, yeah, I mean, he's still one or two in the MVP race.
Don't you think we need Patrick at his best level in order to win anything? We're not going to get Odell Beckham. It looks like he's not good for anything. We need him. We need him at his best level instead of us. Maybe it's just we don't have enough talent. It's just those guys.
Okay. Let me stop you for a second, Chris. You do realize the Chiefs are number one in the National Football League in passing yards per game, right? You do realize that, right? And he has more passing yards and more touchdowns than anybody else in the NFL, right? You do realize that, right?
Maybe this guy will come off of injury. Patrick Mahomes should not be coaching these guys up to get better. I mean, they have to get better by themselves. I mean, we've got problems. I don't know. It's not Patrick Mahomes' job to coach these guys up to get better. It's their job to improve.
Well, oftentimes you'll see a quarterback do that stuff and try to, you know, push the team forward because – he's only going to go as far as the team takes him around him. But, I mean, at times I think he tries to do too much. There's no question about that. And he's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, there's been nothing to complain about with him in Kansas City. After all, the last 4 years he's been in the AFC title game, been in the Super Bowl twice, and he's only lost in overtime in the AFC title game. That was a rarity in Kansas City. What, 94 you had a title game since the Super Bowl?
Yeah, well,
and that was in Buffalo.
There's blame. There's plenty of blame to go around, but this new kid from the Giants is going to have to get a ton better too. It's just that Mahomes can't do it all by himself, but he still can't throw those bad interceptions.
What new kid from the Giants?
Well, I mean, the guy that was injured, you know, Tony.
Kadarius Tony. Kadarius Tony, that one. Oh, yeah, he's been out the last couple games. Don't rely on that. I mean, I understand what you're saying with Kadarius Tony. Hey, I wish he was healthy because I think he does bring something to this offense. There's no question about it. When he gets back, the receiving core does get better. There is absolutely no question about that. Maybe they're just waiting for him to be 100% healthy before they push it because he had the hamstring problems with the Giants earlier this year. So well, maybe they just want him 100%. But they could use him. There is no question about that.
We need it. We need him desperately because you tell me how we're going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a long game. You tell me how we're going to beat the San Francisco 49ers with that defense.
Whoa, let me stop here, my friend. You do realize they put 44 points on San Francisco's ass in San Francisco a few weeks ago, right? That is the number one scoring defense. That is the number one scoring defense in the National Football League, and they put 44 points on them in San Francisco a few weeks ago. Do you think the Chiefs are scared of the 49ers? No.
Let's talk about Philadelphia. Maybe I misspoke there. How are we going to beat the Eagles with this configuration of guys?
It's going to be tough, man. The way the Eagles are playing this year, there's no way. And thanks for the call, Chris. I really appreciate it. But yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles are playing as the best team in the National Football League. There's no question about that. And right now, Buffalo's the number one seed in the AFC. You need Buffalo to lose. You know, Jets tested them a little bit today, but in the end, Buffalo got the win. Buffalo does play Cincinnati later. The Chiefs have the easiest remaining schedule going forward. And these Broncos, they'll see him in Kansas City in a few weeks. And Kansas City probably feels like they owe the Denver Broncos a little bit about that nice little comeback the Broncos had against the Kansas City Chiefs today. But they'll see him again. They'll see him again real soon. But right now, the Chiefs are still the number two seed in the AFC, as we said. I mean, this is a jumbled up mess. It really is, as far as the NFL standings are concerned and the seeding. And imagine what's going on in other cities right now. The way that they're thinking about their team heading in the playoffs. I mean, nobody. I mean, the Bengals, you'd probably have to say, are, you know, hitting their stride. They dealt with a few injuries today with Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins getting hurt. But when everything's said and done, the Bengals are still the fifth seed. Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, 9-4. That's on their third quarterback right now. And then the Tennessee Titans are 7-6. They're the fourth seed in the AFC. So, yeah, there's a lot of teams with a lot of problems in the AFC. But you're right. The Philadelphia Eagles, they play some close games, but they don't seem to be playing down to other teams' level on a consistent basis. Let's go to Lewis. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, my brother. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Oh, man, not bad, not bad. I just got your opinion. So I just wanted to ask you, man, what do you think about Spags' defense? Do you think he's a little too blitz-happy? And do you think that's going to cost us when we get to the playoffs? I'll listen out there.
Oh, thanks, Lewis. Hey, Lewis, thanks for the call. Now, here's the one thing about it. And when do you blitz? When do you not blitz? I know a lot of people are unhappy with the Chiefs' pass rush, but they had six sacks today, and they came into the game sixth in the NFL in sacks. That's right, the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, were sixth in the NFL in sacks. And you know what? After having six sack performance, they're probably going to move up to like third in the NFL. But again, the eye test goes back and say, well, they're not consistent at doing it and getting to the quarterback, like the Bengals game. I mean, they can have as many sacks as they want this year, but they did not get to Joe Burrow, and that was the biggest problem last week. They didn't get to Joe Burrow, and the Bengals won because of the inconsistency of the pass rush. I get it. The Denver Broncos is a horrible offense, absolutely horrible offense. They get six sacks. I understand the feeling of trying to make Russell Wilson feel uncomfortable because they did put the Broncos in deep positions and was second and 34. They ended up converting the first down on that, which is really unexplainable how you let that happen. But as far as the blitz, when to blitz and when not to, it's been unique situations like the Chargers. The last time they played the Chiefs, they moved the ball all over the place. Then Mike Williams gets hurt, their big physical receiver. Then the Chiefs were able to blitz from the nickel when you had L'Jarius Sneed blitzing and others blitzing in that game, and they ended up with five sacks in that game. Well, today, untimely, and sometimes you got to be careful because of a young secondary. But if you don't blitz at all, things could happen to you, like what Joe Burrow did last week against the Bengals. So it's a precarious situation with the Kansas City Chiefs, but they definitely have to start getting to the quarterback with the front. And it was nice seeing Karlaftis get in there with the sack. It was nice Chris Jones getting there with the sack. The batted balls is a nice thing to see with the defensive line today. But yeah, tackle somebody. That's been my biggest issue, is tackling. When a second and seven becomes a first down because you're not tackling. Like, the only guy that is a sure-handed tackler on this defense is Nick Bolton. And I've said it for weeks, said it since week one. Nick Bolton is the one guy that brings players down. Yeah, occasionally they have big hits or good hits, but then you have situations where Thornhill's not making the tackle and getting pushed back, and different players are on this defense as well, not the single one person out, because they're not tackling. And teams are picking up first downs when they probably have no business picking up first downs. Let's go to Topeka and talk to Q. What's up, Q?
Hey, man, I just wanted to tell you and tell everybody listening, like, we are a young core. Like, this team is very, very, very young. And that's what people have to understand, is, like, the ups and downs of a 27-0 lead. Like, if the quarterback does not play great up to his expectations, that's what's going to happen, is because this core is so young, and the wide receivers are not considerably young, but they've only had half a year to deal with Pat and the way he throws the ball. You know what I mean? And the defense, especially.
Well, there's some young guys, especially all the rookies that are playing. There's no question about it. This roster has changed. Again, as I've been talking about, only four guys are on this team that were here before Mahomes. Kelce, exactly. Chris Jones, and then Butker and Winchester, two specialists. But essentially, one guy in offense and one guy in defense, the only guys. But it's a young secondary. Now, listen, you expect, you know, MVS to be that guy in Juju because they are veterans in the National Football League. But a lot of the defense is the younger core. Great.
Juju's been playing great.
Yeah, 100%.
Can I make one more point and then I'm done? As a 28-year-old man, I walked some hills of Denver like 2 years ago. I usually go out there every year for, you know, this Broncos game.
That's awesome.
Been able to. But as a 33-year-old man running those routes like Kelsey was, that takes a lot out of you, man. That takes a lot out of you.
In that altitude, yeah. You know what?
Yeah,
100%, man. And Kelsey, by the way, continues his domination. He's the greatest of all time. He doesn't get credit for that a lot of different times. But Travis Kelsey now, 7 straight years with 1,000 yards. If you're not impressed with that, you should be. Nobody in the NFL has ever done it more than 3 times or at 3 times. That was Greg Olsen at 3. But now Gonzalez, Witten, Gates, and Sharp, the only tight ends over 10,000 yards in NFL history. And he passes Sharp. He's number 4 all time. And don't forget, the fastest to 10,000 yards. He did it in 10 seasons, not 11 like the others. But, yeah, Travis Kelce continues his domination. And he's, you know, he's the number 1 receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, without question. We come back, we'll talk to the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. Hey, welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. The Chiefs win today 34-28. They had a 27-0 lead in this game. By the way, if the Dolphins beat the Chargers tonight, the AFC West is once again the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Chargers with a 10-0 lead on the hot start Miami Dolphins everybody's talking about. Justin Herbert, 15-17 for 124 in a touchdown tonight, looking good. But without further ado, let's talk to the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. He's a good man, a friend of mine, and also one of those guys that I like to argue about Burrow and Justin Herbert for, but he might have something to say. But right now, we'll go out to Pete Sweeney. Pete's appearance is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, and the official sportsbook of 610 Sports Radio. Pete, good evening.
Good evening, Jay. How we doing?
You got to read this text line, man. It's great stuff, man. After that 27-0 lead started to evaporate, I don't know how to feel, Pete. Here's the thing. I kind of started off with, well, the eye test would tell me this team needs a lot of work. Stats would say otherwise. Stats would say they've scored 44, 34, and 44 on 41 on the road against top 5 scoring defenses. That's what the stats would tell me. The eye test tonight would lead me astray.
Well, I think the thing that's bothersome about the way today went is just the idea that you're getting close here to the end. And that was as far from championship football, you know, as you could possibly have, especially on the defensive side of the football. And it's one thing for Patrick Mahomes to throw 3 interceptions. That is an outlier. That's uncharacteristic. That's not going to happen many times. You know, and every quarterback is going to have games like that. And yet they were still able to put up a lot of points. I think the bigger fear is we have watched Denver a lot in primetime struggle to do anything with the football, and they were successful against the Chiefs in scoring points. Now, 2 of those first touchdowns did come on a short field after interceptions, but just the idea that you had Russ Wilson, who has been horrible this year, and then the backup, Brett Rypien, coming in and still giving the Chiefs just quite a scare. It shouldn't have happened, and you're fortunate that you have Patrick Mahomes, and I know that you know his history well, Jay. Is this guy ever going to have a top defense in his life? At a certain point, we keep thinking that each year is going to be better. And I've said it this year. I think the defense has been at times as good as Spagnuolo has had in his Chiefs career here. But this was a poor performance and just a troubling one given it's week 14 and not week 1 or 2 or 3, something like that.
Yeah, no question about it. The one thing, Pete, to me is, like, they haven't played their best football yet. I mean, they just haven't. And today certainly seemed like that. When they're up 27-0 and, you know, you're on Twitter talking about, is it Henny time yet? I was thinking the exact same thing. Are they going to be able to go to cruise control, put Henny in? The numbers aren't going to be there, you know, for the MVP race because the Chiefs are winning comfortably. but they just can't win comfortably. I mean, they make us sweat almost each and every week, Pete, and especially this game, they're up 27-0. What happened there at the end of the first half, bleeding into the second half, is unexplainable.
Yeah, and I just think sometimes, you know, this team, it feels itself a little bit, and if you really look at that sequence, they ran it once up 27-0, and then they were throwing it again when you have less than 4 minutes left in the half. And then, you do get the ball back after Denver scores. And, again, it's 27-7 at that point, yet they're throwing five times in a row. It's hard to question Andy Reid and his play calling and offensive play calling sometimes, but I just think that's the perfect time, even though Denver is getting it, to try to run the football. And it's not like Isaiah Pacheco wasn't running well. I mean, for most of the game, he was running at a 5 yards per carry clip. And so – I don't know. Sometimes I just think this team overthinks itself and in the situational football. Like, you have a 27-0 lead. You have the ball. Just get into the locker room as soon as possible. And it gave Denver life. That sequence gave Denver life for what was the remainder of the game. And the Chiefs weren't, this is reality. And usually I'm of the category of saying, well, they got the win, and that's all that matters. But this was a game that they almost lost. You know, they were within a score of losing the game, and had Russell Wilson not gone out, who knows how it goes. So it is a victory, but when you're a Super Bowl or bust team, which is what Kansas City wanted for a really long time, you do get a little bit scared from performances like this.
Tyreek Hill, by the way, took a 57-yard fumble recovery in the end zone. Now 10-7 Chargers over the Dolphins. And Pete, when you think about that, you mentioned that the five straight passes the Chiefs had, even though Pacheco was giving you 5.3 yards per carry at that time. Did you wonder, did the play calling not match the game, or did it become, all right, we want to just show what we can do offensively? And they were using Denver's litmus test. I mean, hey, let's face this number three defense in the NFL. And if this offense score against this defense, because, again, this is one of the best defenses in the NFL, and it kind of shows their machismo a little bit that they're able to score on this defense. It seemed like they were trying too much.
Yeah, I think they were flexing a little bit. I mean, I think that's true. Andy Reid or Pat Mahomes would never say that, but it really did. It just didn't match the game. You're up 27-0. You have the game in hand. This is a team that cannot score. You know, this year they have not been able to score more than 14 points in most games. And so for me, it's just like, why at that point are you passing five times in a row? I get, you're trying to get the defense off guard. Maybe you throw on first down. But when Pacheco's running like he is and you have that kind of lead, just run the football and keep control of the game. I mean, it should have been a quick game. It should have been an easy, comfortable win. And it was alarming just how the offense let it unravel and then how the defense ended up giving just up so many points to a team that couldn't score more than 20 points in most weeks this year here in week 14.
Yeah, they were very frustrating. The crowd was booing. The fans were booing Russell Wilson. Jerry Jeudy was taking his helmet off and throwing a fit, even bumped in the official because he was so mad. Then he later scores three touchdowns in the game, but it was imploding at that time for Denver, and you got to put your foot on the gas against teams like that when you see implosion. But I was looking at the Chiefs' schedule the rest of the way. It's like, where are they going to get their test? Where are they going to get their test going forward? That's why I wish the Bengals game was actually, a couple weeks out than where it was. But it looks like Denver might be that with this defense. I mean, in Houston, they played much better today against the Cowboys in a two-quarterback system they're using, and the Chiefs play a Texans team with nothing to lose next week.
Yeah, and it's interesting how the Chiefs tend to just play to the level of their opponent, whether it be good or bad, in a way, where they are in games with teams that they really should be just beating soundly, and it doesn't seem like they can have a comfortable win over 60 minutes. And, you look at Houston, and what's that spread going to be? Probably somewhere in the 13-ish range, and it's like, I don't know, for me, you can't trust the Chiefs to – not that it's all betting, but like even in the sense of a team, like comparing it to the betting, like you cannot trust them to win comfortably and cover. They're going to win most weeks, but it's always interesting. It's like the cardiac Chiefs in a way, and playing that type of football could get you in the playoffs. I mean, these teams, once you get to the postseason, are really good. And I think you make a good point. And I've been thinking about that recently. Yeah, I understand Denver played them well and almost was able to pull it off tonight, but the level of play over the next 5 weeks is just not going to be there. it is going to be vastly different if you're, like, say you're able to get the bye and your next game is against Buffalo after playing all these teams.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite a team that they're going to have to look inside and get themselves up for in a way.
Pete, what did you think of defensively? Ari, if we look at the on paper, again, on paper and reality are two different things with this team. There were six sacks. They were six in the NFL in sacks going into that game. You say, oh, you want a pass rush? Well, they're six in the NFL. They're probably going to be bumped up to like third in the NFL as far as sacks are concerned. It certainly didn't feel like it because, once again, tackling became a real issue, or second and sevens, third and eights were picked up. Heck, they ended up converting a second and 30 or a second and 34. Nick Bolton, again, seems like the only guy to be that sure-handed tackler. But the tackling may bite this team if they can't slow it down.
Yeah, I mean, like, you got the game on right now. What if the Chiefs have to see the Chargers again with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen hurt? What if they have to play Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, who we all know well? Do we really think that they're going to be comfortable tackling these guys? I mean, it's troubling. And, look, you know, you go back to the initial years of Mahomes. You can win games by just outscoring teams in the 40s, but you'd rather that the other side of the deal be holding up their side of the bargain. And so the tackling needs to be better. I don't know how you zone in that in the middle of the year. That feels like more of a training camp thing. They might just be who they are, and you just might have to live with the fact that there are going to be shootouts. But you hope that it improves. You know, you're seeing it, and it's almost like a bug where it's going throughout the team where they're missing tackles, and especially in the open field. Like, you're at the point right now with the defense, and you're right, it is weird because they got six sacks and the pick six, and those are good things.
Yeah.
But you're at the point of the defense is, you know, you're looking at some of these defensive backs and even the linebackers, when it's one-on-one in the open field, I mean, as you're watching the Chiefs, your confidence level just isn't there that they're going to make the tackle. It just isn't there right now. I think they, in a way, need to get that sense of swagger back. You know, and I know that's not a word that we've said since Tyrann Mathieu is here, but they need some kind of toughness, some kind of swagger, get back to the fundamentals and make these tackles, because you're going to play good teams, and if you're allowing them extra chances in the form of missed tackles, you're not going to win every game in the playoffs, which is the only reason the Chiefs are showing up at this point. This is, again, I've said it before, but it's a Super Bowl or bust team.
The one thing to look at, Pete, I'll let you go on this deal, but do you look at the AFC? All right, there's the Buffalo Bills at 10-3, the Chiefs at 10-3. The Bills got everything they wanted today from the Jets. You know, it was Mike White playing, and Joe Flacco had to come in for a couple plays. Then there's the Ravens that are down to their third quarterback, Anthony Brown, Lamar Jackson, supposed to come back soon, but they're 9-4. And there's the fourth seed, the Tennessee Titans at 7-6, the Bengals at 9-4, the Dolphins in the playoffs at 8-4 right now, and the Jets at 7-6. The Chargers would like to be one of those teams, but they all have issues. The Bengals might be playing the best. Again, they were hurt a little bit today. Are the Bengals and the Chiefs the best teams in the AFC, or would you say the Bills are? What would be your top three if I was to ask you right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the teams that have been able to beat the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills. I still feel like the Chiefs are the best team. I know they don't have the best record at the moment with Buffalo having, you know, what would be the tiebreaker there. But I would tell you that I feel like these are the two teams that would be, I wouldn't say fearful, but there'd be some doubt in your mind about even them coming to Arrowhead Stadium and the Chiefs coming up victorious. So for me, it's those three teams. And I think as the next couple weeks go on, you know, certain teams can get healthy. Maybe that you can talk about them as someone who can upset, but I would be stunned, I think, at this stage if someone other than Kansas City, Cincinnati, or Buffalo emerged out of the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Who's better, Cincinnati or Buffalo, in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. I think Buffalo's better, but for some reason, I think when it comes to Kansas City specifically, Cincinnati has proven to be a worse matchup.
Yeah,
the Chiefs can beat the Bills, right? They were right in that game. Cincinnati has become this team that kind of not only, I think, matches up well with Kansas City, but there is a mental aspect of it right now where it's the only team in the league that you can say that about, where even if the Chiefs have a lead, you're wondering if the Bengals are going to crawl back in, or if the Bengals have a lead, you're wondering if Patrick Mahomes can do it. I mean, it's crazy to say that, but it exists with one team, and they got a kryptonite sense for me. But I think of the two teams, I think Buffalo probably is the better team in a vacuum, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's close. I mean, a fumble and a missed field goal, really the difference in that Bengals game. So they're all real close, let's put it that way. Pete, always good talking to you, my friend. Good talking to you after this road game with Denver. There you go, Pete Sweeney right there. I'm just waiting for them to play their best football because we haven't seen that, and you expect that. I get it. We're to the point now as Chiefs fans where you expect greatness. You expect every year, and you should. You should be looking at things and look at the AFC, the big picture, and just like the caller that called in a little bit ago, looking at the Eagles and the NFC. Like, who's the better team? What's the litmus test? Who are the Chiefs a better team than? And that's where the expectations get. And the expectations get that way when you've been the four straight AFC title games. You start looking around at the league and think, okay, who's better and who's not better? You see the struggles like today of the Buffalo Bills at times. You're like, okay, can the Chiefs go ahead and beat Buffalo? And then Cincinnati, nice win over the Cleveland Browns, 23-10. Joe Burrow, by the way, was 0-4 against the Browns going in this game. He avenges that. They did take some injuries. But I think the Bengals may be playing better than the Bills. I would put the Bengals as the best team right now playing in the AFC. But the Chiefs, they're still a number two seed. I get it. They're still right there, and they still can get the one seed. And don't forget, the Bengals do have to play the Bills. So, yes, the good news is somebody has to lose that game. The bad news is somebody has to win it. You need these teams to take an L before they go and play in that game. And then, of course, if they do take an L, you're going to root for that team in that game between Buffalo and Cincinnati because I think that bye week is so important. We all know Andy Reid's record after the bye week. It's insane. Same way it bleeds over into the playoffs. He's just damn good after the bye week. So, yes, give the Chiefs a rest. But the level of competition is not that great for the Chiefs. Easiest schedule in the NFL. Are they going to be ready to play even with a bye week? All good questions coming up. Our phone number, 913-586-7610. We'll hear also from the Chiefs locker room next. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. The Chiefs win 34-28, up 27-0. At times, you think, okay, it's time to relax in this game, but it wasn't meant to be. But the Chiefs get the win, and they're playing a pesky Houston Texans team next week to give the Dallas Cowboys all they wanted today, although they took the loss today. 913-586-7610 is the phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Neil in Lone Jack. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Going good, my man. How you doing?
Going good, going fine. Really frustrating, infuriating the way we give up the season high total to this team. I mean, I can't believe we weren't able to just choke them out at the end of the second quarter. I mean, Patrick tries to do too much, and the defense, the tackling is infuriating. We play like this against the better teams in the NFL and the playoffs. Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, we're going to lose if we play like this. And it does concern me, like what Pete was saying, the level of competition over the next few weeks, we're not going to have it. I think we're going to get the number one seed. We're going to get the bye week. But then we better be ready, man, in the playoffs. It's just weird. If you think about it, over the course of Patrick's career, the entire career, really, I mean, even the year we won the Super Bowl, for whatever reason, this team – never plays a complete game from beginning to end. They always they have like incredible, amazing periods where they are unstoppable, and then they play like complete nincompoops for a little while, and they let this team back in it. It was such a frustrating game. But I mean, we got the win. We're still going to get the number one seed, but we better be ready. And the tackling, they need to just take a week off. They need to send Nick. They need to have Nick camp like we had Pat camp. But they need to just take a week off and let the defense go to Texas and have Nick camp and figure out how to freaking tackle. That's a good idea.
It's a lost art with this team. I mean, it's just so frustrating, man. It is so frustrating when this defense has them stopped and then they get those first downs just by, you know, getting it out and getting first down. It's so, so, so frustrating.
I agree with also what Pete was saying or whoever was saying. I mean, just run the ball. You're up 27-0. You were saying it. Run the ball. Choke them out. Don't let them get in. Don't even let them think they have a chance to come back in the game. You go to halftime, and you just continue to choke them out in the second half. Let me talk about one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go, Jay. What the hell? Can you explain to me what the hell was that play where they wouldn't let us freaking snap the ball because Denver had to be
get their chance to be ready to play?
Yeah, that was dumb. That was dumb. Forcing the Chiefs to take a timeout.
Did I miss something? Did they change a rule? Did I miss something? I've never seen anything like that in my entire life in the NFL. If they're not ready, it's their freaking fault.
I wish they would have shown Andy. I wish they would have shown Andy.
The penalty.
Yeah. I wish they would have shown Andy on that situation. But I'm with you, Neil. It takes the call. They need a knockout blow. I mean, there's so many times. I don't know. Jed, you watch MMA? How many times have you seen a fighter, you know, get punched out and you look like they're down? Then all of a sudden they come back with a nice little hook to the jaw and they win.
Right.
Like, how many times have you seen that where a guy looks like you're like, oh man, this guy's getting killed? And then all of a sudden he comes right back with one punch and he wins.
Yeah, it has been a weird thing that the Chiefs, for whatever reason, don't have the, you know, ability to put away teams when they need to. Our friends at Pro Football Focus have talked about that for years and years. Eric Eager, who's now with Sumer Sports, has talked about Andy Reid's inability to step on the throat, for lack of a better term. But yeah, it's definitely something that if the Chiefs aren't careful, it's going to come back and bite them.
Now, that's a good way to put it. Step on their throats. I always, you know, said, you know, knockout punch, put them down. You get them 27-8. Hey, it was the perfect scenario. You're on the road in their own place, and they're booing.
And what were we talking about?
Bronco fans booing because they're wondering, are we ever going to beat the Chiefs? Like I said, it's been since September 17th of 2015. And they hate the Chiefs.
And what were we talking about during the game while watching it together, you know, sitting there taking our notes and stuff like that, being like, well, this is going to be a boring postgame show. We're not going to have a lot to break down here.
27-9,
and then sure enough, here we sit where the Chiefs, you know, are in a position where they let the Broncos, who are an inferior team, made plays down the stretch and forced Mahomes into bad decisions. But, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's very frustrating.
Yeah, they're a good postgame show team. There's no question about that. All of a sudden, look like cruise control. But we all want to see that knockout blow, I think. We really do just see that knockout blow going forward and see what the Chiefs could do. Let's go to the phone lines again. Talk to Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Bing, how you doing? When I was 27-0, when Willie Gay made that defensive touchdown, I was relaxing, and Kelsey relaxed too. And they asked Andy after the game, you know, just run the ball with 27-0 down, you know. That's what I've done. Mix some runs in. You're up 27-0. I know Patrick wants to do too much, you know, sometimes, you know. That's the way it goes sometimes, you know. And, you know, we'll be ready to blow them out the Texans next week, because I think the Chiefs will take the Texans seriously. I don't know what happened to the Cowboys today. That game should never have been that close on the Hail Mary too. And what do you think of the Jets? You know, they're not intimidated by playing the Bills. Let's take care of the Texans. Take care of yourself, Bink.
Thanks, Dean. Yeah, I mean, it's the one thing. I mean, yeah, the Houston Texans are going to take them. I don't think the Chiefs are going to take anybody lightly now. And I don't think they do anyway. They know Denver. Denver played them close last year in a couple of games. They know what Denver's about. And beating your rival 10 straight, Mahomes is 10-0 versus the Broncos. 10-0 because his first start ever was against the Broncos back in 2017. They've now won their 14th straight over the Denver Broncos. Mahomes now 15-0 with Reed in the division on the road. That's an insane stat, probably the best stat for him. He's undefeated on the road in the division. That is absolutely ridiculous. But Denver hates this. They thought they had it right. They had their quarterback. They make a trade with the Seahawks. But you know, in Kansas City, when they announce Seattle's on the clock, and they'll say, well, they're on the clock because of a trade with Denver Broncos, fans in this town are going to go nuts. It's embarrassing the Broncos, and it's a good thing. You know, I'm sitting here watching the Chargers, you know, up 10-7 on the Dolphins, Justin Herbert doing his thing. We saw the Raiders melt down in epic. Did you watch that Baker Mayfield come down and just score on the Raiders? He'd been there for 20 minutes, and he goes down and beats the Raiders. Raiders were in control of that game. I mean, that's the AFC West, folks. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. What's up, Big T?
Hey, Bink. Yeah, man. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing, buddy? Hanging in there?
It's going good, man. What's up with you?
Heck yeah. Well, man, you know, I had a bunch of catering today at OSP, so we were kind of watching it, and I did the recap. But, man, you know, I think everybody out there, we get a little spoiled because we have Patrick Mahomes, and we got to win fancy, and we got to blow people up. Hey, baby, it's the NFL, everybody out there. I mean, Neil, man, I love him. But boy, he sounds like we're 3-10 instead of 10-3. And no pun, Neil, because I love your passion. But it's the NFL, baby. There's parity. Have you not looked at these teams? Are gonna? It's a divisional game. We beat their asses. How many? 14 times, Bink. That's just crazy number. And then you see that guy throwing those circus passes and that one to Schuster. And he did have a couple interceptions, and it wasn't pretty. It was ugly. But they still beat him by six, everybody. They still scored the most points on the Denver defense of any team this year.
Oh, and that one, the McKinnon was insane, that 56-yard touchdown. You just kind of flipped the ball to him, and you go, Jarrett McKinnon, how about him? Seven catches, 112 yards, two touchdowns, added 22 yards on the ground. Jerry McKinnon just proved he's more than the blocking back. The guy played awesome today.
I think that was one of the plays we saw as we're cooking and taking the orders and getting the pies out of the oven. Everybody just erupted inside the shop. Yeah, that was great. And then, you know, Travis Kelce, man, he kind of had a touchdown. It dropped. He had one right to his belly there, and he dropped in the end zone. So, for our defense today, you know, I didn't get a see the whole game. Like I said, I know it was 27-0, and it got a little ugly. But, man, they still smashed that quarterback. He took his helmet off. I saw a picture. And it looked bad for Russell Wilson. He's in concussion protocol. Six sacks. Brandon Williams, remember that guy we just signed, big? Got me and I with Collier. He had a half a sack.
Oh, yeah. So
everybody calm down, man. And Willie Gay, Bink, I had, when I saw that play, too, I had chills. It reminded me of old Willie Nanier or a late, great Derek Thomas batting that ball and getting that play and running it back. So our defense scored a touchdown, and I know the tackling, but everybody calm down. We got Houston. We got the Raiders again. We got Denver again. And then Seattle. Is anybody afraid of that? We just got to let the chips fall and see where they fall. Take care of our business. And it's not going to be pretty. It's the NFL. But you know what? We kicked the donkey's asses again. And I called in Dustman's show. We took care of the beatdown on the MU Tigers, too. Because MU, they live down on beatdown street. But this is about the Chiefs tonight, and as always, let's go Chiefs. Keep up the great work, everybody. Go Big Red. Go Pat Mahomes. Go Kansas City Chiefs.
There you go, Big T and Shawnee. They're still cranking it out. But, yeah, they need to land the knockout blow. I mean, there's no question of that. And, yeah, are people down about it? Yes. And I think the reason is because of expectations. Again, I mean, who would have ever thought this day would come, Jed? I mean, I grew up in this town, and I mean, I was going to the games in the 80s, and they weren't good. 2012, probably the worst season of any team in this city ever of any sport. And then Andy Reid brings success to a team. They've had a winning record every single year that he's been here. But, yeah, maybe we do take it for granted, four straight AFC title games, two Super Bowls in the mix. It's what the Patriots got. They didn't even have fun going to the Super Bowl because when they went to the Super Bowl and lost, they hated it.
I get it. Well, I'm with you. I think that complacency can certainly come into play when you are as successful as the Chiefs have been and as the Patriots were, as you were talking about in comparison. But I guess, to me, to Big T's point, talking about how it's the NFL and there is parity, that was another thing we were talking about just watching the game. I understand that. But when you're a better team on the road up 27-0, excuse me, I've been watching too much World Cup, but 27-0.
Yeah, they looked great on the pitch today, didn't they?
Yes, with the kits and their boots. But no, I do think that you really do. Like I was talking about before we took T's call, you do have to step on the team's throat. And I get that the defense, you know, was able to knock Russell Wilson out of the game. You never want to cheer for injuries and things like that. You're encouraged by the fact that they had a defensive takeaway and touchdown. The fact that they had six sacks. There are a lot of encouraging things to take away from the game, but it still doesn't mean that they shouldn't have been in a position to win the game handily.
I feel this game is stats versus eye test. I really do. I mean, the stats say, oh, six sacks. I mean, look at this, but the eye test wasn't. Now, I will say this. Denver got way too many first downs. This team was third from last in getting first downs this season, and they were able to get a lot of first downs against the Chiefs. And you don't want to see it. You want to see a knockout punch being laid because you think this team's Super Bowl caliber, and they probably are. They should be. But the NFL is set up for mediocrity. The NFL is set up for parity. What the Chiefs are doing, the NFL doesn't want. That's why they switch the schedules around where everybody basically plays the same schedule except for three games, but you play on the road instead of home against different teams. They want parity. And everybody spins the same. So to do what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing is an incredible feat, but you have different expectations now. Again, stats versus the eye test. You want to see the knockout punch. I want to see the knockout punch. I want to be able to relax. I thought this was going to be on cruise control today. 27-0. Okay, you know, this game, we had nothing. NBC's probably glad they flexed. They're probably doing a little dance with the flexing of this game, the fact that they're not showing this crap on TV, and then all of a sudden it turns out to be a good game. Very frustrating at times. But let's head inside that locker room now, and let's hear from Patrick Mahomes, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's Patrick.
Kind of exhaling, does that sort of speak for the way this day went?
Yeah, I mean, just three bad decisions. If you look at them, the first one, probably just took the easy throw to outside, try to force it to Kels. The second one, I really was just trying to burn it, and he made a hell of a play. I was trying to just throw it away at someone's feet. And then the third one was just bad, just because the situation, we're in field goal range, especially here at altitude, and if I throw the ball away, no one's open, so just throw the ball away and let Harrison end the game. But luckily for me, the rest of the team stepped up. Defense made a lot of stops in critical moments when we were putting them in some bad situations. And I thought even like special teams, they made the field goals. Tommy flipped the field a couple of great times for us. And the guys around me stepped up and made some plays happen.
Can we go into that the first touchdown pass, the one in the
Yeah, that was I was committed to running, and then I saw I was probably going to get hit like I did last week in Cincinnati, so I just kind of flicked it. I was just trying to get it to him whatever way possible, and I kind of just flicked it, and he made a great play after. Guys made some blocks downfield, and he scored a touchdown. So I got to just find that fine line of when I'm doing that type of stuff and it's good for us, and when I do stuff and when it's bad for us, and I think that's something I continue to work on and to continue to get better at.
What advice did Andy have for you after the game during the game?
Yeah, I mean, he tells me to keep throwing it, man, keep slinging it. He don't want me to lose who I am. I mean, I promise you, I know, and I'm messing up. Like when I go to the sideline, I'm hot. And those coaches come to me and they say like they understand I know, but they still let me know like what I can get better at. But I just can't put our team in that situation. And luckily, we got the win. But you don't win a lot of games when you have three interceptions.
Do you feel any commonality in three in terms of just your process or each with their own unique thing like you described before?
Yeah, they're each unique. Just trying to force it when it's not there. I think that's the biggest thing. The first one to Kels, he can't pull up. It's like the rule because the guy's underneath him. And I'm trying to pull him up in that window, and he's doing his role. And so then I lead him into the linebacker. It's just little things like that. It's just being a little too loose with the football. And I got to correct that because, we're going to continue to play good teams. And we're trying to make a run in the playoffs. And I have to correct that and take all the good that I'm doing and then take away that negative stuff because that's what loses you games in the playoffs.
This is 15th straight divisional week on the road. I just wonder what you enjoy most about a particular challenge and what the challenge is like maybe today versus the first game, your first career start.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think it's really cool the stadiums that we get to go to and the fan bases. I mean, if you look at our division, I mean, the stadiums and the fan bases are top notch. So you know when you go, it's going to be loud. It's going to be at an awesome stadium, awesome venue, and you have to play your best football to win. And I did just enough today against a really good defense. I mean, they have a really good defense to win. And we focus on those teams all offseason. We like the Denver, obviously, the Chargers, the Raiders, and we try to have a game plan for them, and we try to execute at a high level.
Patrick, when the interceptions happen, and it seems like, not the first, but just the second one, and then they go and capitalize off of them, do you feel like there is more pressure added on you?
Luckily for us, we built a lead up there early. So even though we ended the half not the way we wanted to, especially me, obviously, but we had a little bit of lead going into half. So you kind of have like the glass half empty, half full. Like you got a 13-point lead. You would have took it when you got in there.
Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. The Chiefs win 34-28, up 27-0 at times. You think, okay, it's time to relax in this game, but it wasn't meant to be, but the Chiefs get the win, and they're playing a pesky Houston Texans team next week to give the Dallas Cowboys all they wanted today, although they took the loss today. 913-586-7610 is the phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Neil in Lone Jack. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Going good, my man. How you doing?
Going good, going fine. Really frustrating, infuriating the way we give up the season high total to this team. I mean, I can't believe we weren't able to
just choke them out at the end of the second quarter. And I mean, Patrick tries to do too much, and the defense, the tackling is infuriating. We play like this against the better teams in the NFL and the playoffs, Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, we're going to lose if we play like this. And it does concern me, like what Pete was saying, the level of competition over the next few weeks, we're not going to have it. I think we're going to get the number one seed. We're going to get the bye week, but then we better be ready, man, in the playoffs. It's just weird. If you think about it, over the course of Patrick's career, the entire career, really, I mean, even the year we won the Super Bowl, for whatever reason, this team never plays a complete game from beginning to end. They always they have, like, incredible, amazing periods where they are unstoppable, and then they play like complete nincompoops for a little while, and they let this team back in it. It was such a frustrating game. But, I mean, we got the win. We're still going to get the number one seed. But we better be ready. And the tackling, they need to just take a week off. They need to send Nick. They need to have Nick camp. Like, we had Pat camp. But they need to just take a week off and let the defense go to Texas and have Nick camp and figure out how to freaking tackle. That's a good idea.
It's a lost start with this team. I mean, it's just so frustrating, man. It is so frustrating when this defense has them stopped and then they get those first downs just by, you know, getting it out and getting first down. It's so, so, so frustrating.
I agree with also what Pete was saying or whoever was saying. I mean, just run the ball. You're up 27-0. You were saying it. Run the ball. Choke them out. Don't let them get in. Don't even let them think they have a chance to come back in the game. You go to halftime, and you just continue to choke them out in the second half. Let me talk about one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go, Jay. What the hell? Can you explain to me what the hell was that play where they wouldn't let us freaking snap the ball because Denver had to be – get their chance to be ready to play?
Yeah, that was dumb. That was dumb. Forcing the Chiefs to take a timeout.
Did I miss something? Did they change the rule? Did I miss something? I've never seen anything like that in my entire life in the NFL. If they're not ready, it's their freaking fault.
I wish they would have shown Andy. I wish they would have shown Andy.
The penalty.
Yeah. I wish they would have shown Andy on that situation. But I'm with you, Neil. It takes the call. They need a knockout blow. I mean, there's so many times. I don't know. Jed, you watch MMA? How many times have you seen a fighter, you know, get punched down? You look like they're down. Then all of a sudden they come back with a nice little hook to the jaw and they win.
Right.
Like, how many times have you seen that where a guy looks like you're like, oh man, this guy's getting killed. And then all of a sudden he comes right back with one punch and he wins.
Yeah, it has been a weird thing that the Chiefs, for whatever reason, don't have the, you know, ability to put away teams when they need to. Our friends at Pro Football Focus have talked about that for years and years. Eric Eager, who's now with Sumer Sports, has talked about Andy Reid's inability to step on the throat, for lack of a better term. But yeah, it's definitely something that if the Chiefs aren't careful, it's going to come back and bite them.
Now, that's a good way to put it. Step on their throats. I always, you know, said, you know, knockout punch, put them down. You get them 27-8. Hey, it was the perfect scenario. You're on the road in their own place, and they're booing.
And what were we talking about?
Bronco fans booing because they're wondering, are we ever going to beat the Chiefs? Like I said, it's been since September 17th of 2015. And they hate the Chiefs.
And what were we talking about during the game while watching it together, you know, sitting there taking our notes and stuff like that, being like, well, this is going to be a boring postgame show. We're not going to have a lot to break down here.
27-9,
and then sure enough, here we sit where the Chiefs, you know, are in a position where they let the Broncos, who are an inferior team, made plays down the stretch and forced Mahomes into bad decisions. But, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's very frustrating.
Yeah, they're a good postgame show team. There's no question about that. All of a sudden, look like cruise control. But we all want to see that knockout blow, I think. We really do just see that knockout blow going forward and see what the Chiefs could do. Let's go to the phone lines again. Talk to Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Bean, how you doing? When I was 27-0, when Willie Gay made that defensive touchdown, I was relaxing, and Kelsey relaxed too. And they asked Andy after the game, you know, just run the ball with 27-0 down, you know. That's what I've done. Mix some runs in. You're up 27-0. I know Patrick wants to do too much, you know, sometimes, you know. That's the way it goes sometimes, you know. And, you know, we'll be ready to blow them off the Texans next week, because I think the Chiefs will take the Texans seriously. I don't know what happened to the Cowboys today. That game should never have been that close on the Hail Mary too. And what do you think of the Jets? They know they're not intimidated by playing the Bills. Let's take care of the Texans. Take care of yourself, Bink.
Thanks, Dean. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing. I mean, yeah, the Houston Texans are going to take them. I don't think the Chiefs are going to take anybody lightly now. And I don't think they do anyway. They know Denver. Denver played them close last year in a couple of games. They know what Denver's about. and beating your rival 10 straight. Mahomes is 10-0 versus the Broncos. 10-0 because his first start ever was against the Broncos back in 2017. They've now won their 14th straight over the Denver Broncos. Mahomes now 15-0 with Reed in the division on the road. That's an insane stat. Probably the best stat for him. He's undefeated on the road in the division. That is absolutely ridiculous. But Denver hates this. They thought they had it right. They had their quarterback. They make a trade with the Seahawks. But you know in Kansas City, when they announce Seattle's on the clock, and they'll say, well, they're on the clock because of a trade with Denver Broncos. Fans in this town are going to go nuts. It's embarrassing the Broncos, and it's a good thing. You know, I'm sitting here watching the Chargers, you know, up 10-7 on the Dolphins, Justin Herbert doing his thing. We saw the Raiders melt down in epic. Did you watch that Baker Mayfield come down and just score on the Raiders? He'd been there for 20 minutes, and he goes down and beats the Raiders. Raiders were in control of that game. I mean, that's the AFC West, folks. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. What's up, Big T?
Hey, Bink. Yeah, man. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing, buddy? Hanging in there?
It's going good, man. What's up with you?
Heck yeah. Well, man, you know, I had a bunch of catering today at OSP, so we were kind of watching it, and I did the recap. But, man, you know, I think everybody out there, we get a little spoiled because we have Patrick Mahomes, and we got to win fancy, and we got to blow people up. Hey, baby, it's the NFL, everybody out there. I mean, Neil, man, I love him, but boy, he sounds like we're 3-10 instead of 10-3. And no pun, Neil, because I love your passion, but it's the NFL, baby. There's parity. Have you not looked at these teams are gunning for? It's a divisional game. We beat their asses. How many? 14 times, Bink. That's just crazy number. And then you see that guy throwing those circus passes, and that one to Schuster, and he did have a couple interceptions, and it wasn't pretty. It was ugly, but they still beat him by 6, everybody. They still scored the most points on the Denver defense of any team this year.
Oh, and that one to McKinnon was insane, that 56-yard touchdown. He just kind of flipped the ball to him, and he goes, Jarrett McKinnon, how about him? 7 catches, 112 yards, 2 touchdowns, added 22 yards on the ground. Jarrett McKinnon just proved he's more than the blocking back. The guy played awesome today.
I think that was one of the plays we saw as we're cooking and taking the orders and getting the pies out of the oven. Everybody just erupted inside the shop. Yeah, that was great. And then, you know, Travis Kelce, man, he kind of had a touchdown. It dropped. He had one right to his belly there, and he dropped in the end zone. So for our defense today, you know, I didn't get to see the whole game. Like I said, I know it was 27-0, and it got a little ugly. But, man, they still smashed that quarterback. He took his helmet off. I saw a picture. And it looked bad for Russell Wilson. He's in concussion protocol. 6 sacks. Brandon Williams, remember that guy we just signed? Big? Got me and I with Collier. He had a half a sack.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody calm down, man. And Willie Gay, Bink, I had, when I saw that play, too, I had chills. It reminded me of old Willie in the near or a late, great Derek Thomas batting that ball and getting that play and running it back. So our defense scored a touchdown, and I know the tackling, but everybody calm down. We got Houston. We got the Raiders again. We got Denver again. And then Seattle. Is anybody afraid of that? We just got to let the chips fall and see where they fall. Take care of our business. And it's not going to be pretty. It's the NFL. But you know what? We kicked the donkey's asses again. And I called in Dustman's show. We took care of the beatdown on the MU Tigers, too. Because MU, they live down on beatdown street. But this is about the Chiefs tonight, and as always, let's go Chiefs. Keep up the great work, everybody. Go Big Red. Go Pat Mahomes. Go Kansas City Chiefs.
There you go, Big T and Shawnee. They're still cranking it out. But, yeah, they need to land the knockout blow. I mean, there's no question of that. And, yeah, are people down about it? Yes. And I think the reason is because of expectations. Again, I mean, who would have ever thought this day would come, Jed? I mean, I grew up in this town, and I mean, I was going to the games in the 80s, and they weren't good. 2012, probably the worst season of any team in this city ever of any sport. And then Andy Reid brings success to a team. They've had a winning record every single year that he's been here. But, yeah, maybe we do take it for granted, 4 straight AFC title games, 2 Super Bowls in the mix. It's what the Patriots got. They didn't even have fun going to the Super Bowl because when they went to the Super Bowl and lost, they hated it.
I get it. Well, I'm with you. I think that complacency can certainly come into play when you are as successful as the Chiefs have been and as the Patriots were, as you were talking about in comparison. But I guess, to me, to Big T's point, talking about how it's the NFL and there is parity, that was another thing we were talking about just watching the game. I understand that. But when you're a better team on the road up 27-0. Excuse me, I've been watching too much World Cup, but 27-0.
Yeah, they looked great on the pitch today, didn't they?
Yes, with the kits and their boots. But no, I do think that they're, you really do. Like I was talking about before we took T's call, you do have to step on the team's throat. And I get that the defense, you know, was able to knock Russell Wilson out of the game. You never want to cheer for injuries and things like that. You're encouraged by the fact that they had a defensive takeaway and touchdown. The fact that they had six sacks. There are a lot of encouraging things to take away from the game, but it still doesn't mean that they shouldn't have been in a position to win the game handily.
I feel this game is stats versus eye test. I really do. I mean, the stats say, oh, six sacks. I mean, look at this, but the eye test wasn't. Now, I will say this. Denver got way too many first downs. This team was third from last in getting first downs this season, and they were able to get a lot of first downs against the Chiefs. And you don't want to see it. You want to see a knockout punch being laid because you think this team's Super Bowl caliber, and they probably are. They should be. But the NFL has set it for mediocrity. The NFL has set it for parity. What the Chiefs are doing, the NFL doesn't want. That's why they switch the schedules around where everybody basically plays the same schedule except for three games, but you play on the road instead of home against different teams. They want parity. And everybody spins the same. So to do what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing is an incredible feat, but you have different expectations now. Again, stats versus the eye test. You want to see the knockout punch. I want to see the knockout punch. I want to be able to relax. I thought this was going to be on cruise control today. 27-0. Okay, you know, this game, we had nothing. You know, NBC's probably glad they flexed. They're probably doing a little dance with the flexing of this game. The fact that they're not showing this crap on TV, and then all of a sudden it turns out to be a good game. Very frustrating at times. But let's head inside that locker room now. And let's hear from Patrick Mahomes, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's Patrick.
Kind of exhaling, does that sort of speak for the way this day went?
Yeah, I mean, just three bad decisions. If you look at them, the first one, probably just took the easy throw to the outside, try to force it to Kels. The second one, I really was just trying to burn it, and he made a hell of a play. I was trying to just throw it away at someone's feet. And then the third one was it's bad, just because the situation, we're in field goal range, especially here at altitude, and if I throw the ball away, no one's open, so just throw the ball away and let Harrison end the game. But luckily for me, the rest of the team stepped up. Defense made a lot of stops in critical moments when we were putting them in some bad situations. And I thought even like special teams, they made the field goals. Tommy flipped the field a couple of great times for us. And the guys around me stepped up and made some plays happen.
Can we go into that the first touchdown pass, the one in the
Yeah, that was I was committed to running, and then I saw I was probably going to get hit like I did last week in Cincinnati, so I just kind of flicked it. I was just trying to get it to him whatever way possible, and I kind of just flicked it, and he made a great play after. Guys made some blocks downfield, and he scored a touchdown. So I got to just find that fine line of when I'm doing that type of stuff and it's good for us, and when I do stuff and when it's bad for us, and I think that's something I continue to work on and to continue to get better at.
What advice did Andy have for you during the game?
Yeah, I mean, he tells me to keep throwing it, man. Keep slinging it. He don't want me to lose who I am. I mean, I promise you, I know, and I'm messing up. Like when I go to the sideline, I'm hot. And those coaches come to me and they say like they understand I know, but they still let me know like what I can get better at. But I just can't put our team in that situation. And luckily, we got the win. But you don't win a lot of games when you have three interceptions.
Do you feel any commonality in three in terms of just your process or each with their own unique thing like you described before?
Yeah, they were each unique. Just trying to force it when it's not there. I think that's the biggest thing. The first one to Kels, he can't pull up. It's like the rule because the guy's underneath him. And I'm trying to pull him up in that window, and he's doing his role. And so then I lead him into the linebacker. It's just little things like that. It's just being a little too loose with the football. And I got to correct that because, we're going to continue to play good teams. And we're trying to make a run in the playoffs. And I have to correct that and take all the good that I'm doing and then take away that negative stuff because that's what loses you games in the playoffs.
This is 15th straight divisional week on the road. I just wonder what you enjoyed most about a particular challenge and what the challenge is like maybe today versus the first game, your first career start.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, first off, it's I think it's really cool the stadiums that we get to go to and the fan bases. I mean, if you look at our division, I mean, the stadiums and the fan bases are top notch. So you know when you go, it's going to be loud. It's going to be at an awesome stadium, awesome venue, and you have to play your best football to win. And I did just enough today against a really good defense. I mean, they have a really good defense to win. And we focus on those teams all offseason. We like the Denver, obviously, the Chargers, the Raiders, and we try to have a game plan for them, and we try to execute at a high level.
Patrick, when the interceptions happen, and it seems like, you know, it's not the first, but just the second one, and then they go and capitalize off of them, do you feel like there is more pressure added on you?
Luckily for us, we built a lead up there early. So even though we ended the half not the way we wanted to, especially me, obviously, but we had a little bit of lead going into half. So you kind of have the glass half empty, half full. Like you got a 13-point lead. You would have took it when you got in there, but obviously didn't end with the momentum in our favor. But, I mean, I think you know with me, is I'm not going to be scared to throw it. I mean, I'm going to keep shooting. I think that's what it takes in order to win. You don't want to play scared and timid. And when you throw an interception, kind of shut down. And I think that's the worst way. You lose games that way. And so luckily for me, I got guys in there that believe in me. Every guy was coming up to me and saying, keep firing it. We did enough to win.
Couple more. 10-0, the Broncos is a starter. Just between the altitude, the atmosphere, just how are we able to consistently get wins here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just have a good game plan coming in. Denver's always a great challenge for us. I think you see the record and you see 10-0, but if you look at the games, I mean, it's always a fight, a dog fight. I mean, you're going in there trying to battle. And you know, you're gonna get their best effort, and it's something that we focus on in the all season, try to just focus on winning games. But luckily for us, it's kind of went our way, and so we'll try to keep that going.
We'll go Herbie Avenue.
Hey Patrick, in the second half, the Broncos sitting there fighting. The momentum is sort of going back and forth there. On defense, Brandon Williams, Darius Harris sack, next play, Frank Clark is sacked. How big was that to put the momentum back in your favor?
It was huge. I mean, they came out of the half and they hit a screen play for, I don't know, 70 yards for a touchdown, even though I thought defense was playing good. They called the perfect play versus the perfect blitz, and that happens. That's why everybody's NFL caliber players and coaches. And so for them to respond, and then we go three and out quick, and the defense go right back on the field. Tommy flips the field, then we go right back on the field and gets a stop. That gave us a chance to get that touchdown drive there at the end of the third quarter. So the defense, like I said, that guy stepped up. I mean, I didn't play my best football, especially at certain points in the game, but guys stepped up around me so that we won as a team.
Patrick, another AFC West championship. If LA loses tonight, we'll probably get it next week. Anything stand out to you about this one?
Yeah, I mean, we just our goal is just to continue to get better each and every week. We go into every season and we say we want to win the AFC West, we want to get home field in the playoffs, and we want to win a Super Bowl. And so, hopefully, we continue. We haven't done it yet. We win the AFC West. That's our first goal, and it's special. I think guys, I want to make sure guys remember that it's special winning divisions. And so, win the AFC West, and then our next goal is to try to establish home field advantage, and that's gonna take us playing great football week in and week out. And then we try to win the Super Bowl, and that takes building. It takes, you know, you're not going to play your best football every week, but how can you build on your past week and the rest of the season to make sure you're playing your best football when the playoffs come around?
Patrick, I wonder if when you get a big lead, it's any kind of challenge to not say it's into the game, but I mean to say is focused in that way. I just wonder if it's human nature that it's harder to do.
It shouldn't be. I mean, when you get a big lead, you should try to press and keep getting better and better. But it seems like with me, I like to be down before I play good. So I'm going to try to change that around and make sure I play good all the time.
There's Patrick Mahomes after the game. Patrick Mahomes goes to 10-0 against the Denver Broncos and 15-0 against division opponents on the road. Let's go back to the phone lines, 913-586-760. Keithan, what's up, Keithan?
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good in you, sir. I'm good in you. I'm sorry I'm rushing so much. It's just I'm finally a blessing just to talk to you and everything. I've been listening to you since 2013, my man.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I really do.
Yes, sir. And I'm a friend of the Dust Man and everything.
Oh, the Dirty Werewolf, yeah.
Yeah, the dirty Werewolf. I tell him that at work and everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yes, you have yes, to, sir. Man. He's a good man.
He is. And I just, you know, I want everybody just to calm down. I know it was an ugly win, and I know you know your points on football and everything. Like Marshawn Minor said, and I know this is a long time ago, but I'm old. Take it one play at a time. And this is the NFL. It is not the same no more. And like Berman would say, that's why they play the games. But, Jay, I just called just finally to talk to you, and it's a blessing just to talk to you. And God bless you. I love you, and I just let you go on with that and everything. And go Chiefs.
Thanks, Keith, and Merry Christmas to you. No, I mean, it is the NFL, and, you know, there's not a lot of blowouts that happen, 3 points, 10 points. It's just that normally you'd say, you know, you can't ask for a blowout. I know the Chiefs beat the Rams by 16, and everybody had a problem with that. They did win an NFL game by 16 points. But when you're up 27 to nothing, I know that you expect more. You expect more from this team. It's about landing the final punch, landing that punch to knock them out so they don't keep coming back. And teams do. And if you don't put your foot on your gas, teams are going to find a way to come back. And Denver, they manipulated the end of the half. The Chiefs have been terrible in turnovers this year. They had a negative differential. They're really bad at getting turnovers this year, and they find it turning the ball over but not getting turnovers back. But they have two touchdowns like that at the end of the half. And then for Denver, of course, they had the ball first in the second half and get a touchdown. Like, these are things you don't want to see. You want to see the knockout punch being laid. This would have been a perfect game to put in Chad Henne. This would have been a perfect game to rest some of the starters. And, you know, thankfully Andy Reid said there was no injuries to the Chiefs after the game. But you got to land that punch. And, again, a lot of times I think it's stats versus the eye test. I mean, the stats on this game, you would say, okay, well, the Chiefs, you know, you look at the top five scoring defenses, I mean, points against you in the National Football League. Number one is San Francisco. Number two is the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos give up 17 points a game. San Francisco gives up 15.8. Chiefs put 44 on San Francisco. It's the number one scoring defense on the road. Denver gives up 17. Chiefs put 34, doubled it, but seven of those points come from Willie Gay. So they actually scored 27, which is still 10 over the Denver Broncos average. Number three is Dallas at 17.2. Chiefs have not played the Cowboys, so minus that team. Buffalo, 17.4 points a game. Chiefs scored 20 on them, albeit they lost. And number five scoring defense in the NFL is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 18.3 points a game that they give up. The Chiefs put 41 on them, so that means three out of the top five the Chiefs beat. These are three of the best five defenses in the National Football League, but it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that way, especially when the Denver Broncos scored more points today than they have in a game all season. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with Touchdown Kansas City. The voice of Mitch Holtis next. Welcome back to Arrowhead Price Post Game Show. 34-28, the Chiefs win over the Denver Broncos. That toy drive's coming up in the gym. That's the 13th. What's today? The 10th or 11th? 11th, isn't it?
Today is the 11th, yes.
Today's the 11th, so two more days. Two more days for the toy drive there. But right now, we like to play a little game called Touchdown Kansas City.
It's time for Touchdown Kansas City.
Hardman waits for a block, and he gets the 15, 10, explodes, dives, the Jet has landed the plane!
A highlight-filled summary of the game with the voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis.
Touchdown Kansas City!
Touchdown Kansas City with Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. The Chiefs, unlike other games, they would get on the scoreboard first.
Butker has never missed a field goal against the Broncos. He's 29 of 29 in his career against Denver. It's a 35-yard attempt from the near hash, right to left. Placement down by Townsend, and the kick is good. And the Chiefs are on the board with three to start the game at 10:56 to go in the first quarter.
Eight plays, 58-yard drive, taking 4:04 off the clock. That 35-yarder, his 30th straight field goal against the Denver Broncos. Well, you know what? Make it 31 for Harrison Butker.
This will be a 45-yard attempt for Butker. Again, 30 out of 30 in his career against the Broncos in field goal attempts. Low snap handled by Townsend. Lifting the right leg through is Butker, and he's got it. So two drives and two Harrison Butker field goals.
And that altitude is a kicker's dream. A 45-yarder there by Harrison Butker, making the score 6-0 Kansas City. Six plays, 53 yards, 2:18 off the clock. Chiefs lead the game 6-0. But the Chiefs weren't done yet pouring it on the Denver Broncos.
They're down for the Chiefs. They're 0-2 on third down. That's why they had to settle for field goals. Leading 6-0, they have 3rd-and-2 at their own 44. Mahomes being pressured, moves to his right. They're coming from behind him. Now flings it, slings it to McKinnon at the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown! Batman loves this stadium. It was an underhanded shovel at the right boundary for a 56-yard touchdown. They were all over him. And he just slings it under his hip to McKinnon for a 56-yard touchdown.
Great job of describing that play by Mitch, but a 56-yard pass to Jerick McKinnon, who had a great game, by the way. Four plays, 78 yards, minute 41 off the clock, put the Chiefs up 13-0 with 14:16 left in the second quarter. How would you describe that, Jed? Kind of a flip? I mean, it was kind of, I've watched it a million times, but it was just kind of like a toss. I mean, whatever it was, it worked. That definitely goes in Mahomes' top five plays of all time?
Yeah, I would say that's even better than the left-handed pass, especially, I don't know that people will compare it because they were both at Mile High is what I'm always going to call it. But yeah, I thought that was an even more impressive play.
And the one thing about it is he had to wait, make sure he wasn't past the line of scrimmage before he made it. But there was 13-0 Kansas City at that point. But then Jerick McKinnon would strike again.
Second and goal to go for the Chiefs at the 10-yard line, leading 13-0 midway through the second quarter. And a screen pass right side to McKinnon inside the 5. He dives for the end zone, and somersaults, touchdown! Kansas City, Jerick McKinnon, his second touchdown reception in as many drives. And the Chiefs against the number one red zone defense, only allowing 9 touchdown passes all year. Now they've given up 11 for the season.
Yeah, how about that? Everybody talking about the red zone struggles. The Chiefs went into this game in the most touchdowns in the red zone, number one red zone defense. Was the Denver Broncos. 7:16 left on the clock in the first half. 12 plays, 76 yards. 4:53 off the clock. Made the score 20-0, Kansas City. Oh, but guess what? It's the Tully touchdown of the game. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So raise a glass this week's Tully touchdown with Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. When it's game time, it's Tully time. It's also Willie Gay time.
Fourth down. A yard and a half for the Broncos at the Kansas City 45. A play action fake. They're going to throw it. Now the pass is intercepted off a tip. Willie Gay Jr., 30-yard line, 20-yard line, 10-yard line, 5-yard line. Touchdown, Kansas City. The defense gets the pick 6 they have been wanting since the Charger game. The first one, and Willie Gay Jr. with the athleticism does it. And the Chiefs add a defensive touchdown to the mix. A 45-yard tip pass, pick 6 by Willie Gay Jr.
That was 4:32 left in the first half. Willie Gay's 47-yard touchdown interception return. 6 plays, 30 yards, 2:44 off the clock on that one. 27-0 Kansas City. At this point, you're thinking, okay, now we have a defense pick 6 like we did earlier the year against the Chargers. 27-0. And what do these keep handing the ball off to Pacheco? They're going to put in Chad Henne. A lot of things. Jerry Jeudy was taking off his helmet, getting mad. He was mad about the offense. The offense was booing, or the crowd was booing Russell Wilson. It's like the Denver Broncos were melting down. And then an interception. And then it was the guy screaming mad, throwing a fit on the field, getting the first touchdown for the Broncos.
They're up on the ball quickly, are the Broncos, with 2nd down and 7. And now a fade pattern. Jerry Jeudy is open. He makes a catch over the shoulder with separation and a touchdown for Denver. As Joshua Williams gets beat on an 18-yard fade, and Jerry Jeudy able to get separation against the Chiefs rookie corner.
18-yard pass from Wilson to Jerry Jeudy, the first of his 3 for a hat trick in touchdowns. That made the score 27-7. Minute 35 left in the second quarter. All right, 27-7, still blowing the team out. But then they get another interception. And then, of course, Denver drives right back down with Russell Wilson. Don't forget, this team had not scored more than 23 points this season. Here's Judy's 2nd touchdown.
Marlon Mack is the former Colt as the running back. Ball will be snapped near hash. Russell Wilson, feet staggered. looks for the quick throw left. Now turns those right, wide open over there, right side against McDuffie's Jerry Jeudy. And a touchdown for the Broncos at 9 seconds to go in the first half.
They made the score 27-14, that 5-yard touchdown pass to Jerry Jeudy from Russell Wilson. That would be your halftime score, 27-14. Denver would get the ball back. You think, okay, can they stop it? Momentum had definitely swung towards the Broncos. But again, this team struggles to score. Would they score again?
Second consecutive time now on this drive. It's been 2nd and 15 for Russell Wilson, his own 33. Chiefs are blitzing. They got a screen right set up to Mack. He's at the 40. 45. Nick Bolton trying to fight off a block. Marlon Mack at the 40. Snead misses a tackle. He's at the 20. He's inside the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Denver Broncos. It will go as a 67-yard screen pass. And the Broncos are within one score. And if the PAT is good, they'll have 21 unanswered points.
21 unanswered points from the Denver Broncos. Marlon Mack goes 66 yards there on a touchdown pass from Russell Wilson, his third of the game. Score at this point was 27-21. 13:03 left in the third quarter. Oh, my. Things start to tighten up for the Kansas City Chiefs, except the newcomer to the Chiefs making a difference.
50 seconds to go in the third quarter. Tight triangle for the Chiefs. Wide to the right. Chiefs are 4 of 8 on third down. Kelce walking in motion right slot. Mahomes turning right, now left, spinning, trying to keep the play alive, and fires it at the back of the end zone, caught, touchdown, Juju Smith-Schuster, touchdown, Kansas City, at 38 seconds to go in the third quarter, Mahomes kept the play alive, spinning, turning, looking.
That's another one of those plays you think, okay, it's another one of Mahomes' highlights. He's spinning around, he's hard to bring down. That 4-yard touchdown pass from Mahomes to Juju made the score 34-21. Jerry Jeudy would get his third touchdown of the game, a 7-yard strike from Brett Rypien, who replaced Russell Wilson, who was in concussion protocol. And the final score would be 34-28. I could have given that flip pass, the Tully touchdown of the game, Jed, but I had to give it to Willie Gay. You know, I like defensive scores, like when the defense scored. I just felt that they deserved it, and they needed it. Willie Gay.
Well, you know me, I don't normally fanboy out a lot during the game, but even that play, when we were sitting there watching it, and I go, oh my God, got up to go cut the highlight. Yeah, it was unbelievable athleticism. I think that's why you're seeing the rewards that the Chiefs got by drafting him in the second round and the athleticism that he showed at Mississippi State.
You know, Willie Gay, you know, incredible athleticism when he came out of the draft as the best coverage linebacker coming out in the draft. In that situation, but out of Mississippi State. And by the way, prayers out to Mike Leach. He's in the hospital, Mississippi State. Speaking of Mississippi, he played for Mike Leach at Mississippi State, and Mike Leach, I guess, is in the hospital at this point. So, yeah, that's what all the college football reporters are reporting. So, best wishes out to Mike Leach in this situation. Hope he gets better for sure. Big fan of Mike Leach. Anyway, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll look inside the numbers for this game for the Chiefs. Travis Kelce, what an unbelievable game as he continues to climb the record books.
Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back just for the new year. Hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. Here's Jay Binkley.
Hey, welcome back. Chiefs get the win 34-28. They need the Dolphins to beat the Chargers just to go ahead and ice up the 7th straight division title for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Chargers do hold a 10-point lead, leading Miami 17-7. Miami's only score, the 56-yard fumble return by one Tyreek Hill. Mentioned the Denver Broncos, been 14 straight over the Denver Broncos. They have not beaten the Chiefs since September 17th of 2015. That was right before the Royals World Series victory over the Mets. And Peyton Manning was the quarterback. He's already in the Hall of Fame. So the Chiefs' consecutive victories versus one opponent, it's this one in climbing, 14 straight. Number two on the all-time list is 11. Versus the Denver Broncos, November 64th to November of 69. Now, you might think, all right, what's the NFL record for most consecutive victories over one opponent since 1970? The answer, Miami versus Buffalo, 20 straight, October 28th, 1970 to October 14th, 1979. San Francisco versus the Rams, December 1990 through December of 1998. New England versus Buffalo, December 2003, December 26, 2010, and a tie for fifth with Miami versus Indy, New England versus the Jets, and Kansas City versus Denver as they continue to just kind of hold that edge over the Denver Broncos. The NFL record book, most 10-win seasons, Belichick with 20, Don Shula with 20. That's your 1 and 2. Andy Reid with 17. Tom Landry right behind him with 16 as far as 10-win seasons. Most consecutive 10-win seasons for a head coach. Belichick has 17 in a row. Tied for second, George Seifert and Andy Reid. Travis Kelce also passes that 10,000-yard mark in the 10,000-yard club. He's fourth all-time now as far as tight ends and yardage. Seven straight 1,000-yard seasons, which is absolutely, totally incredible. There's arguments about greatest of all times. I don't think there's an argument anymore. It's clearly Travis Kelce is. He just continues to climb that list. Tony Gonzalez, number one all-time in yardage. Jason Witten, number two. Antonio Gates, three. Shannon Sharp, 15 yards ahead of Kelce. Kelce will easily pass that and be fourth all-time as soon as next week's game. But we'll go back inside that locker room and hear from Andy Reid after the game. We heard from Patrick Mahomes. Here's Andy Reid kind of filling you in on the latest injury situation, which a teaser, he says there's no injuries, but what were they thinking about the Denver Broncos and the test next week at the Houston Texans? Go back inside that locker room, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Here's Big Red.
All right. Heck of a football game. These are the injury. I mean, really, we don't have anything, so we're good there. Great game. My hat goes off to Nathaniel and the job that he's done here. Those guys never gave up. Down 27-0. You know, it's a tribute to the offense and defense playing hard. Second quarterback comes in. They still continue to play hard. I've got to give a couple shout-outs to Kelce, first of all, had 10,000 career yards. He broke that tonight. And then 7 years of in a row of 1,000-yard games. So it's quite a tribute to him. And then, you know, just our defense. I thought our defense played hard, tremendous today, with the exception of, you know, a couple of the interceptions there. The defense was in a bad position, but short field. But I thought overall they really played hard and aggressive. And listen, McKinnon at 112 yards receiving, two TDs. Pacheco 70 yards, none bigger than that last one. Juju nine catches for 74 yards. So and then Pat, I know I'm gonna be asked about that. Every quarterback that's played in this league a while has a game like that. The one great thing about him is he kept firing and had a lot of big plays. And so, you know, you can't take away the three interceptions, but there sure were some good ones in between those. And it's a great learning experience. But every great one's done and had that. So, you know, it's one of those deals. And we were able to work through. Nobody hung their head. Everybody kept battling. And we ended up finishing the game the right way. With that, time's yours.
Randy, what advice did you have for Pat when all that was going on?
He'll see the tape. And he saw he knew where he goofed. But he'll go back and look at the tape once we have a chance to do that. You could see, you know, he's got good enough feel for the game where he knows what he did wrong there. But
right after that interception, Patrick finds Valdez-Scantling for a really good pickup, kind of ice the game. What do you like his composure after a big mistake like the one on the last drive? Just how was he able to get back into it?
Yeah, well, listen, he's a great player, first of all, and he's got a great attitude. So, and he's got good people around him, and he trusts the players. The one to Scantling was a big play. He actually checked to that route that Scantling ran, and was a play that we kind of narrow things down. If it comes down to the end of a game, what plays, what are your favorites? And that was one of his favorites. But it does have an alert on it where he had to call Scantling on that route. So anyways, his composure, he's great with it. I mean, he'll learn from the mistakes, which is not everybody does, but he will.
Andy, obviously, credit the Broncos for staying in there, but what will your takeaway be for the team, to the team, about putting a team away when you're up like that?
Yeah, so we talk about that all the time, about, hey, so you got a team down. This is a National Football League, so the margin between win and lose is like this. And this team's had a bunch of games, 10 out of 12 games, where it was a one-score game. So you know that 27-0 lead, that might, you got to stay on top of it. And that goes back to Adam's question. So you better stay on top of it. You better put them away. And so we try to do that all the way around.
A little lost the shuffle all of a sudden, but I don't know that Patrick's 56-yard pass to Jarrett was as you threw it up.
That wasn't quite like it was drawn up. Listen, and this is hard to say. I mean, it's hard for people to see that, but you take out the three interceptions, and he really had a heck of a game, from my eyes. And so that's where I'm at. But you can't obviously have the three turnovers.
On that play in particular, though, did you get a good look at how he?
I kind of saw it. Yeah, I kind of saw what was going on. It was on the other side of the field, but I got a pretty good idea of what he did there.
Andy, another AFC West championship if LA loses tonight. Anything stand out to you about this one?
Yeah, well, we don't have it yet. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, I'm going to reserve that, because that can be taken a few different ways. I'm going to just reserve that until it happens. I want to make sure we stay on top of it here, Adam. And if the Chargers happen to win, we've got to make sure we're right too. So
there you go. There's Andy Reid. Well, the Chargers up 17-7 now over the Dolphins as we look at the AFC West. The Raiders, of course, last Thursday night, Baker Mayfield had been in L.A. for 20 minutes and beats the Raiders. Yeah, sucks for you Raiders. But 17-7 Chargers over the Dolphins. Of course, if the Chargers lose, the division's the Chiefs. But didn't look like Tyreek Hill questionable return with an ankle injury. Remember how everybody's talking up Tua, right? Tua's having an amazing year. Tua's so great. Tua. Even the offseason, Tua's talking up Tua. Hey, Tua is 3 of 17 for 25 yards. 3 of 17 for 25 yards is Tua in this game. But regardless, and then we, of course, know the Denver Broncos lost today to the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's hear from Willie Gay. One more thing. This is Willie with our own Josh Klingler after the game. And, of course, all the audio brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
All right, thanks, Brad. Here with Willie Gay Jr. Willie, thinking about just the overall global picture of this game, there's obviously some frustrations, but a win is a win in you guys' mind, and whatever way you can kind of escape Denver, I guess you'll take it.
Yeah, man, we was killing them at first, but like everybody says, it's the NFL, everyone's good, man, if you let up. If you give them anything, they will take advantage of it, and we did. We let them off the hook a lot of times tonight, but thank God we finished with a W, man. Defense came up big at the end, so.
All right, I can't let you go without the pick six. Yeah. So you got to tell me about the pick six. You're showing your hands, showing your athleticism. That was a huge play for you.
Yeah, I've been speaking that to existence since we won, man. Every week I'm like, I got to give you one. It's finally, hey, called a great call. I felt like he was about to try to get it over my head, or I tipped it right to right into my hand. So, and I realized Russ was the last line of defense. I was like, oh, yeah, my old athleticism skills kicked in. So.
There you go.
Yes, sir, dog. You know it.
And last question, you beat this team 14 straight times. I mean, how special is it that Patrick Mahomes has not lost a road AFC West game? You've been on the team with them for that whole ride as well, several of you guys, and then you're able to beat this rival 14 straight times.
Man, I'm just blessed to be here. I'm witnessing greatness, man. Year three, and I get to see people like Pat and Trav and the skill guys on that offense, man, and it's getting a playmakers on this defense, man. I'm just so happy I'm part of this team, honestly. So,
all right. What about Isaiah Pacheco? That last run, is that like, is that an attitude defining run for the entire team, not just for the offense?
I'm going to just say it like this. Linebackers hate running backs like him. Because he just
best fucking linebacker in the fucking field.
appreciate it, dog. Okay. But yeah, man, he just hard nosed. He don't care who in the way. He's not gonna try to shake you. He gonna run through your face. And man, that is attitude. That's all it is. He just got a lot of dog in him, and that's what he show every single outing that he has. So,
well, congratulations on the win, bro.
Thank you, man.
Back to you, Brad.
So it was actually Dayton Hughes, not Kling. You'll hear Kling in the morning with Frank Clark. I believe he has some exclusive stuff. But anyway, Pacheco is, man, when he runs the ball, it's an attitude, man. I love it. Like, I love it when he picks up a first down to win the game. The guy runs so hard. Average 5.38 yards per carry. Would like to see Pacheco get more carries, to be quite honest. We have five passes in a row. And break that up a little bit and give the ball more to Isaiah Pacheco. But the Chiefs get the win today, 34-28. They're 14th straight over the Denver Broncos. Patrick Mahomes now 10-0 versus the Broncos. And a 15-0 record against the division on the road. The Houston Texans on the clock. Big thanks to Jed Marshall producing the operation. I'm Jay Binkley. Don't forget Fesco in the morning at 5:58.